grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that must be noticed when we think about the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem is that Jesus is doing everything intentionally. All right? The first thing that we learn is when they get to the top, near the top of the Mount of Olives, as they're about to go over the top of the Mount of Olives and descend into Jerusalem, there are two villages. One is called Bethany and the other is called Bethphage, House of Figs. And Jesus tells two of his disciples, go into the town over against you, that is Bethphage, and as soon as you enter the town, you will find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. So now the disciples are heading off to Bethphage, and you know they feel reluctant. I mean, have you ever been told by someone to go and do something that's a little out of the ordinary, and you're not really sure that things are going to work out, but the person says, don't worry about it. I've taken care of everything. You know, you'll be fine. And you're going, but you're trepidatious. You're not quite sure. Yeah, we're going to go and grab these donkeys. What if somebody grabs us and accuses us of being thieves? Donkey thieves, no less. So the disciples go and they do as Jesus said. Now from the other gospels, all of which have an account of the triumphal entry, we are told several extra things. Number one, that the colt had never been ridden before. The other thing that we're told is that somebody did say, why are you untying that animal? And they said, the Lord has need of them. And okay, go. All right. So Jesus is setting this thing up intentionally because he wishes to proclaim himself the Messiah, especially on this occasion, because he is entering into Jerusalem in order to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus, in one of the Gospels, it says that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. Jesus is determined to accomplish the work of our redemption. He has come to do the will of the Lord, and therefore nothing will prevent him, no fear, no anxiety about what lies ahead of him will prevent him from going to Jerusalem as the King, the Messiah, and the Savior of the world, to go there to accomplish the very work of redemption for the salvation of the souls of all people. Now look, there is, as St. Peter said, none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is, the only salvation for anyone is in the name and work of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And what we see here as Jesus begins to fulfill the prophecies is that he is indeed the one who has accomplished everything necessary that I may be redeemed, saved, forgiven, and eternally enjoy the kingdom of glory. All right, now, the prophecy, all of this was done, St. Matthew tells us, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And then he says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. All right, now, interestingly enough, what Matthew does here is he kind of takes two separate prophecies and fuses them together, because he wants us to pay attention to both of them, and they didn't have chapters and verses back in the old days, right? When people used the Bible, it was just words. There was no chapters, there was no verses, so you couldn't tell somebody, first look up Zechariah 9 verse 9, then look up Isaiah 62 verse 11, and then you'll understand what's being said. So what writers had to do when they were doing this was they had to take little bits of each separate prophecy and stick them together so that you would know to look up when you had the opportunity to look up both of them. So let's take a look at both of the prophets. First of all, we have Zechariah 9 verse 9, which says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here, the people are called to rejoice greatly. Why? Because the king who has salvation is coming to you. And he's not coming to conquer you and beat you down. He's coming lowly, riding upon an ass. He's coming to you in peace for your salvation. All right, Jesus comes as the author and finisher of our faith. All right, and so he comes with grace, lowliness, and meekness for our salvation. But there's another passage in the book of Isaiah 62 that St. Matthew wants us to pay attention to, and that one goes like this. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the earth, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So here, Jesus is referred to as thy salvation. And so you see how when you read Matthew's gospel, Matthew takes a bit of Isaiah 62 and a bit of Zechariah 9:9, puts them together as one prophecy so that we will look up both of them and realize the full picture of what Jesus, by doing this, is saying to those who experienced it, and secondarily to us, that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem as the salvation of God, as the King of our salvation, to undeterredly do what needs to be done for our eternal redemption. All right, so the disciples go and they get the donkeys and they bring them and they put their clothes over the animals and they sit Jesus on the colt. And something takes place. And everybody, you got the people from Jerusalem who have come streaming out because they have heard Jesus is coming. Right? And they've heard all the miracles, all the wonderful teachings, all the signs and wonders, particularly when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And so the people from the city are coming out in droves to meet him, and they're climbing up the Mount of Olives up to the summit. And then you got the festival pilgrims all going on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, climbing up, 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 up. And just before they get to the brim of the top of the mountain, they get Jesus onto this donkey, and everybody begins to immediately praise God in accordance with Psalm 118. All right? Psalm 118 says to us, number one, open unto me the gates of righteousness. I will go in them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous may enter. He is just and having salvation. He may enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. No matter what the enemies of Jesus are plotting and planning, Jesus, the rejected stone, has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. In Hebrew, those words are Hosanna, Hosanna, O Lord. All right? Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. Send now prosperity. Hosanna, Hosanna. Then, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. So they are welcoming him as the Messiah, the Son of David. The whole crowd, the crowds coming up the hill to meet Jesus, and the crowds going to Jerusalem, they are all, by the Spirit of God, acclaiming Jesus to be the righteous Savior who has come in order to bring redemption and salvation. And this is going on now. Many of the people who were happily participating in this didn't fully understand exactly why or what they were doing. They were very impressed with Jesus, and they believed that he was the Messiah. But there was still a lot that they didn't understand, and that even the disciples didn't really know what they were doing. St. John tells us that they did all these things, and they only remembered later on that these things happened and what they meant. All right? So people are caught up in the work of the Spirit of God here, and they all are marching to Jerusalem. There's a crowd in front, a crowd in back, and Jesus and his disciples in the middle, with him riding upon an ass, an animal of peace. And they are going into the city of Jerusalem, proclaiming him to be the Savior of the world, much to the chagrin of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, what are we to make of this? Number one, we can know from this and take assurance that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, that little tendency of the old Adam that lives within us wants to earn his way into God's favor. The problem with it is that every time we try to do that, we damn ourselves. But here, we see Jesus with great determination going straight into the valley of the shadow of death on our behalf, that we may know that our salvation is the work of God for sinners, that we receive by faith. And therefore, we may be at peace. Give up the whole self-salvation program and be the ones who have been lifted up and cleansed and forgiven in Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two is this, that we may follow his word as humble servants of God, trusting the outcome to him. You know, just like those disciples sent into Bethphage to retrieve these two animals. And they're going in there and they don't know what Jesus knows. But they know that he's told them to do this. And they're doing it, but they're doing it with that kind of like, how is this going to work out? And very often in your life, there are things that the Word of God commands you to do. You don't know how it's going to work out, right? You don't know if the ministry or the activity that you are going to engage in, according to the Word of God, is going to turn out to receive plaudits, or whether you're going to be considered a nitwit for what you have said and what you have done. You don't know. And so very often we are reluctant to go ahead with what we know is the will of God. And we cook up some kind of earthly alternative so that we can still think that we have done God's will. But what we've really done is we've skipped around God's will and done some human alternative in the middle. You know, no. Go ahead. Serve the Lord. Do what his will that is revealed in the Bible commands you to do, and leave the outcome to the Lord, who knows everything and who has promised that all things will work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. You know, so often in life we have duties to fulfill, and we have things that God calls us and doors that he opens for us, but we're afraid to go through them because we don't know how it's going to work out. But we can be bold. Why? Because we're saved by grace, not through not by works. And we know here from this story that our Lord knows the outcome, and that he will bless us as we follow his word and do what is right. Doing what is right doesn't mean that everything is always going to be, people going to be patting you on the back. Especially in today's age where so many people have fallen away from the Lord Jesus Christ and we live in an entirely secularized world, there are people who, if you give even so much as a peep of being a Christian, will despise you and let you know about it. All right, so number one, we may know that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. Number two, we who are saved may follow his word as humble servants of God and trust the outcome of our service to him. Thirdly, we may praise and proclaim him as the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, we can proclaim this when we share our faith with our family, with our friends, with our workmates. But we also proclaim his word when we give our offerings in church. Because by giving offerings in church, we are helping to support the work of the ministry among the people of God. The Lutheran Church of our Redeemer is here in Peekskill to this day, not because we have had bingo every Thursday night. We are here not because we have sought after big grants and big money bags to keep us going. No, we are here because God's people have been moved by the Lord himself to generously give of their substance so that the preaching of the word and the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ may take place in this time and in this place. And so when you do something as simple and apparently unimportant as putting an offering envelope in the offering plate, this is a participation in the proclamation of the Word of God, and it enables it to take place here. This is how the Lord works. He works through means. He gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation through baptism, through the preaching of the word, and through the sacrament of the altar. And he provides for the temporal needs, mostly by moving people to give and to share of themselves and of their substance. He works through means. So we may therefore know that we are saved by grace through faith. We may trust the outcome to him, and we may proclaim him as the only Savior of all people. And this, that God may be praised forever. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.